I want to ask the question this morning, what if Jesus had not come? You know, around Christmas time, a lot of people are thinking about Jesus. They're thinking about Christ's birth. They generally associate Christmas with Christ's birth, in addition to associating it with Santa Claus. And even though the Scriptures don't teach us when Jesus was born or teach us that it would be an important thing to celebrate His birth as we celebrate His death on the cross, we still must understand how important His coming into this world was. In fact, it's the single most important event to most people in the world concerning world history. Time is divided based on whether it was before Christ or after Christ came. We use the terms BC and AD to delineate whether something came before Christ or after Christ. And so that's a very significant thing. And a lot of people are very intent on focusing on His birth. And we've talked before about some of the reasons that they like to think of Jesus as the infant in the manger, because of the fact that that little baby does not make demands, and that little baby doesn't have a moral code that you have to live up to like the grown-up Jesus did. But the fact of the matter is that His birth is a significant event. His birth fulfilled prophecy. His birth by a virgin is the only one of its kind. There were other miraculous births. Some would say that the birth of Isaac was miraculous. A 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman giving birth. They certainly thought it was pretty unusual. Some would say even that the birth of Samuel was miraculous. His mother had been barren, had no children. She prayed, and then she was given a son. Some would say that was a miraculous birth. The birth of John the Baptist was certainly considered a miraculous birth. But of all the miraculous births that there have been, none has been like the birth of Christ. Because in no other case was there a woman who had not known a man, as Mary said. Now that didn't mean she didn't know any men. It meant she hadn't been sexually involved with any men in order to get pregnant. When the angel came to tell her, hey, you're going to give birth to a son, she said, how's that going to happen? I haven't been with a man. She knew how it worked. Most of us, especially those adults of us out here, I hope we know how it worked. Especially those of us who are parents, we know how we got that way. But she knew that. And she knew that can't happen that way. It's not supposed to work like that. It's interesting, just this past week in the news, the Archbishop of Canterbury has made big headlines by coming out to say that a lot of the things associated with the nativity and the manger scene and all these things, that's all legend. It's just tradition, basically. Well, in the Churches of Christ, we've been teaching that for years, that's not in the Bible. The wise men didn't come to the stable. They came to the house. We shared a few of those passages with some of the folks at the nursing home this morning to try to show them how, you get all these stories and you see all these things and you hear all the songs and the movies and all these things, but if we want to know the truth, we've got to go to the Bible. And so he was right about some of those things. Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. We don't know when he was born. The Bible doesn't tell us. He was right about some of those things. But then he went a step further, and he went too far. He went so far as to say, well, believing in the virgin birth is not necessary for someone who wants to become a Christian. And I beg to differ with him on that. Jesus made it very clear that unless you believe that I am He, the Christ, the one prophesied about, unless you believe I am He, you will die in your sins. You cannot become a Christian without believing that Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God. That's what the confession is. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what Peter said in Matthew chapter 16. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is a foundational principle for Christianity. Now, you can call yourself a do-gooder and not believe that. You can call yourself a moral person and not believe that. But you can't call yourself a Christian and not believe that fundamental fact. If Jesus was not born of a virgin, then his mother was just a woman of loose morals who was out with someone who was not even the man that she was engaged to. Because Joseph was going to put her away when he found out she was pregnant because he knew the child wasn't his because he hadn't been with her yet. That's what a lot of people teach. In fact, the very term, Jesus of Nazareth. You see, Simon, Peter, he's called Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon son of John, because they knew his father was John, and so that's what they named him, Simon son of John. But when they didn't know a child's heritage, his lineage, when they didn't know who his father was, then they just called him by the name of the town he was from. And that's why Jesus is not called Jesus, son of Joseph, Jesus Bar-Joseph. He's not called that. He's called Jesus of Nazareth. Because what they were saying was, this is an illegitimate child. We don't know who his daddy is. You know, there's not much worse that you can say about somebody than to mock them and make fun of them for not knowing who their father is. That's one of the cruelest things that children do to one another, and I guess adults do it too. And there are all sorts of slang terms that are used to describe someone who doesn't know who his father is. And that's what they said about Jesus. Because they didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God, and they knew he wasn't the son of Joseph. So he was just Jesus from Nazareth. But in fact, the Bible does tell us, Matthew chapter 1, the scripture that was read for us, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, the son of David, fear not to make unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. What if Jesus had not come? What if he had not come like he did? What if he had just been born like a regular human being with a mother and a father? Well, he could have been a prophet. There were a lot of prophets that were born with a mother and a father. He could have been a wise teacher. There were a lot of wise men who were born of a mother and a father. He could have even been a religious leader. There were a lot of religious leaders who were born of a mother and a father. But if he was not born of a virgin, if he did not have God as his father, then he was just a man. And no man can save another man from his sins. There's nothing you can do to save me from my sins. There's nothing I can do to save you from yours. If I sacrificed my life for you, it wouldn't do away with a single sin that you committed. But the angel told Joseph, he shall save his people from their sins. That's something that no man could ever do. It was prophesied in Isaiah, behold, a virgin shall be with child. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, it speaks of this virgin with child. That's Mary, Jesus' mother. But what if he hadn't come? Let us notice that if Jesus had not come, number one, we would be in darkness. Do you know what was significant about yesterday, December the 22nd? I said, well, it's 3 days before Christmas. Well, and it is every year. It's an amazing thing. It always works out that way. But that's not what's significant about December the 22nd, at least in the Northern Hemisphere. Where we live, December the 22nd is the shortest day of the year. He said, wait a minute, every day has 24 hours. No, it's not any shorter in the terms of the hours, but there are more hours of darkness and less hours of light on December 22nd than any other day of the year. But you know, there was one day in history in the middle of the spring that had less days of light, less hours of light than December 22nd. That was the day that Jesus was crucified. The sky was dark for 3 hours in addition to the nighttime in that 24-hour period. If Jesus had not come, the world wouldn't be in physical darkness. The sun would still be up there. We'd still have day and night. But spiritually, we'd be in darkness. In John chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, John the Apostle writes, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And he's not talking about himself. He's talking about John the Baptizer. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lights every man that comes into the world. Without Jesus, everyone who comes into the world would be in darkness. Jesus is the light. He is the one who lights every man that comes into the world. So, we would be, spiritually speaking, in darkness if Jesus had not come. Secondly, let's notice that if Jesus had not come, we would not have spiritual truth. John chapter 1 and verse number 17 says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So when he said, you shall know the truth, he was talking about himself. He was saying, if you know me, I'll set you free. We've got to know the truth. Jesus is the truth. We wouldn't have spiritual truth without Jesus. Now some people say, well, yeah, but look at all the division in Christianity. Look at all the different things that people teach that claim to be Christian. Yeah, but you know what? We can go back to the Bible and see the truth, because it records what Christ did and taught. It records His New Testament, His will. It's recorded for us. We can go to it. Now, we can argue left and right about whether Jesus was born in Bethlehem or Nazareth or Jerusalem. We can argue all day about it, but if we want to know the truth, we're going to have to go to the Word of God. We're going to have to go to the Bible. Jesus said to His Father in prayer, sanctify them by Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. You know what's interesting about that Word? It's not only speaking of the Word, the Bible, but Jesus was the Word that became flesh, according to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus is the Word. He is the truth. And without Him, we wouldn't have spiritual truth. Now, we would still have some truth, because some truth is inherent in the way that God created the world. 2 + 2 would still equal 4. If you dropped something, it would still hit the ground. Those laws of mathematics and science wouldn't change. We would still have some truth in this physical world. The sun would still rise and set the same. Those things would occur. But spiritually, we wouldn't have truth. You know, there's a great movement in our society today to get us to that very point. Again and again, whenever you express the truth to someone, they say, well, that's your opinion. well, you have your truth and I have mine. No. Because Jesus came to this world, there is one truth. And we all have the same truth, or we don't have any truth at all. That's very possible for you to have your lie and me to have mine. For you to have your mistake and me to have mine. But if it comes to truth, there is only one, and if we've both got truth, we've got the same thing. People try to make it some touchy-feely artistic type thing. You know, when you look at artistic work, somebody might say, that's the ugliest thing I ever saw. And somebody else say, oh, that's beautiful. That's subjective. But see, truth is not subjective. Now, you may not like the truth, but truth is not subjective. It's objective. Just like we talked about in mathematics, 2 plus 2 equals 4. It doesn't matter whether I like that or not. When I'm paying my bills and I have $300 and my bills are $400, I may not like the fact that I don't have enough money to pay my bills, but it doesn't change the truth that I better go find another $100 somewhere, or some of my bills aren't going to get paid. Facts and truth don't change according to your opinions or your feelings about them. I may not like the fact that if I trip and fall off the stage, I'm going to hit the ground and it's going to hurt. But that doesn't change the fact that if I trip and fall off the stage, it's going to hurt when I hit the ground, and I'm going to hit the ground. I can't fly. And no matter how much I want to, I can't change that fact. That's truth. And see, Jesus came to bring truth. Moses made a law, and he brought the law from God. He wrote the law of God down. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now that doesn't mean that the things that Moses wrote weren't true, but it was incomplete. It wasn't sufficient, because the things that Moses wrote could never save us. All it could do was condemn us. Just like those mathematical things. Well, if I find my money isn't enough to pay my bills, the math will never save me. Somebody comes along with some grace, that can save me. But the math won't do it, because the math won't change. It's unbending. But Jesus brought grace and truth. So we wouldn't have spiritual truth if He had not come. And all the world, you know, the old saying, well, one religion is just as good as another. If it weren't for Jesus, we could say that and nobody could argue with us. But because of Jesus, there is one religion that stands head and shoulders above the rest. And that's the religion of Christianity. Then let us notice that if Jesus had not come, we would have no way to heaven. John chapter 14 and verses 6 and 7, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Well, where is the Father? We know the Father is in heaven. And Jesus says, I am the way. He didn't say, I am a way. Now, that's what the world religions would have us believe. Well, you know, if you're Muslim, if you're Hindu, if you're Buddhist, it's all, you know, it's okay. You're trying to do what you think's best, what you know. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, I am the way. No one comes to the Father but by me. There's nothing more discouraging than to hear someone who claims to be a Christian being interviewed by somebody, and they ask them, they say, well, you know, what about all these other religions in the world that don't believe Jesus is the Son of God? What about them? And they, well, you know, well, we can't really judge them. Yes, we can. We're not judging them. We're just quoting what Jesus said. No man comes to the Father but by me. The only way to get to heaven where God is to go through Jesus. He is the only way. And we need to understand that. Without Him, if He had not come, there would be no way to heaven. The Muslims don't have a way. Blowing yourself up won't get you there. The Buddhists don't have a way. Being reincarnated into an ant won't get you there. The Hindus who worship the cows, those cows won't get you to heaven. You know, all these religions, it doesn't matter what religion it is, without Christ, you cannot get there. He's the only one who has been there and come here and gone back there. He's the only one who knows how to get there. When he says, I am the way, he wasn't kidding. We've got to go through him. But then, let us notice that if Jesus had not come, we would have no grace. We talked about truth a minute ago, and truth is certainly important. It's good to be able to know if you're right or if you're wrong. Truth is essential to living life. But oh, how disturbing it would be to have all of the truth about our condition with no grace. That's the situation that the law of Moses brought. It brought the law. It brought the thing that said, you're wrong if you do this. And people then broke that law and they stood condemned. But then what? If you're wrong, and you know you're wrong, but you can't do anything about it, what a depressing circumstance to be in. There's nothing more depressing than being wrong and knowing you're wrong and knowing there's nothing you can do about it. But Jesus brought grace. John chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, this was He of whom I spake, that He that cometh after Me is preferred before Me, for He was before Me. Now remember that John was older than Jesus. What's he mean, He was before Me? He's referring to the fact that Jesus existed before John did. Jesus existed before He was born on this earth. He goes on to say, and of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Can you imagine a world with no grace, no mercy? How many times have you ever wanted mercy? What if there hadn't been any? How many times have you ever sinned and come to God begging Him for forgiveness? What if there wasn't any? What if there was no grace? What if there was no mercy? What if there was no forgiveness of sin? See, Jesus was going to be the one who would save His people from their sins. Where would we be without Him? We'd be drowning in our sins. Let us notice then, based on these things that we've just seen about truth and the way to heaven and the grace, if Jesus had not come, we would have no hope. Oh, what a sad situation. No hope. 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, these three remain, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love, he says, but I have to tell you, hope is a really important one. Have you ever been in a situation that was hopeless? Probably not. Most of us haven't ever been in a hopeless situation, but some people have. And when you're in a hopeless situation, there's no reason to live anymore. There's no reason to do anything anymore, because it's hopeless. There's no hope. Well, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13 says that that's the way we were. And if you're outside of Christ in a spiritual sense, that's the way you still are. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. But you see, if Christ had not come, there would have been no way for us to have been made close to God. We would have been without God and without hope. And as long as we remain outside of Christ, we are without hope. The only difference being that since Christ has come, there is the hope that we will obey Him. There is the hope that we will come to Him. But if He had not come, there would be no hope. And then finally, let us notice that if Jesus had not come, we would not have life. Now, we might still have physical life. But physical life is truly meaningless without spiritual life. John 1 and verses 1 through 4 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Jesus says in John 10 and verse 10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Life. We know how dearly we cling to our physical life. We will fight tooth and nail. I read a story this past week about a father and his three children that got lost in the woods up in California in a snowstorm. And they did everything they could to stay alive. They were found after only 3 days. But if things had gone further, they would have done more desperate things. Maybe you've heard of the Donner Party. They were stranded probably in a nearby area to where these folks were lost in the winter in a storm. And they got to the point where they ate each other to stay alive. We think, "Oh, I'd never do something." How could? Because they were desperate for physical life. If people will do such desperate things for physical life, what about spiritual life? What about everlasting, eternal life? What about that kind of life? Well, people won't do much of anything for it. Maybe because they don't recognize that it's even there. We see the physical life. It's so easy. And if we can't breathe, you know, we get choked and we can't. We recognize how close to death we were. But spiritually, most of the time, we don't recognize where we are. We don't realize whether we're alive or dead spiritually. We need to pay more attention to that, because that's the life that truly matters. This life will be over shortly. We sang the song, "Soon this life will all be over." And it will. But what of it when it is? Because this life is just a spot. Just a dot, just one point on the line of eternity. And we're going to go on for eternity. Where will we go on for eternity? Will we come to Christ and have hope and grace and truth and light and life? Or will we remain outside of Christ in the darkness with no hope? You see, in this world, as long as we're alive, there is the hope that we will come to Christ. But after we leave this world, if we have not come to Christ, there will be no more hope. When Jesus said on that fateful day of judgment, when He divides the sheep from the goat, He's going to say to those on His left hand, "Depart from Me, ye accursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Not just depart from Me for 20 years, or for 100 years, or for 1,000 years, but depart from Me into the everlasting fire. Everlasting. That's a long time. Now, I've had everlasting gobstoppers, and I promise you, they're not everlasting. If they were, I'd still have it in my mouth. But I finished it. See, we get confused on this earth because we don't really have a concept of everlasting. We can't, because we're bound by time. Everything about our lives begins, goes on, and then ends. We cannot comprehend of something that doesn't end. Everything ends. But that doesn't. On the other side, though, heaven never ends either. And we can enjoy that. We can be with Christ and be with God, be with our loved ones who make it as well, and our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. But only if we're in Christ. If you're here and you're not a Christian, there's no better time to become one than now, because we're not promised another day. If you're not a Christian, you can become one by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that He was born of a virgin, and that His Father was God. That seed in Mary was by the Holy Spirit. And believing that, be willing to repent of your sins, to confess Him as the Christ, and to be buried with Him in baptism to wash your sins away. If you're here and you are a Christian, but you perhaps have wandered away from the truth, you've wandered away from the light and you've gotten off into the shadows of the darkness, you may need to come back to the light. You can do that this morning. If you have any need to respond to the invitation, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.